Twitter stop all misinformation about the coronavirus from swirling around the Twitterverse?
And Facebook news.
Is there an Iranian influence campaign on Facebook?
We have YouTube news.
How is YouTube prepared for the 2020 elections? Will change to our content policy slow the spread of misleading videos?
What effect has social media had on our political system?
Has political posting polarized our politics?
In privacy news, who's following you now?
Why is our government by location tracking data from our mobile phone service providers?
From the TikTok desk.
Is TikTok still the hottest brand on social media? The coronavirus has a new name, and it's now called COVID-19. That's COVID-19. COVID-19. There are a lot of rumors and misinformation circulating that can be pretty scary. What can be done to limit the circulation of misinformation on social media? How can we make sure that we get the facts about this fast-moving crisis? John Greenberg is here to talk about how one of the social media giants is trying to deal with the issue of user sharing misinformation. Twitter is an important distribution network for fast-breaking news. According to Internet Bar Stats, there are almost 500 million tweets every day. What can Twitter do to promote accurate scientific public health information and discourage the many rumors that are flying around? John, give us an introduction to this one.
Coronavirus is causing panic around the world. Of course, it's going to be a hot topic for Twitter, especially. A user may be extra inclined to post something misleading to gain attention to their pages. Twitter has to see this is a problem, especially with reason to believe this is being done on purpose. We have a clip from Andrew Patterson of the World Health Organization speaking about the impact of coronavirus on social media.
False information about the virus itself has spread faster than the virus, and it's gone into more people's lives and infected more people than the actual virus itself.
Patterson met with Google to discuss about how all the major social media companies are dealing with misinformation. Prior to this, he even used the word infodemic to describe the situation right now.
What is Twitter doing to help slow down the spread of misinformation about coronavirus on their platform?
On January 29th, Twitter released a statement on their blog that they are cooperating with dozens of governments around the world to supply credible information of the virus on their platform. If you were to search hashtag coronavirus or hashtag vaccines on Twitter, it would lead to information from the CDC, the Department of Health and Human Services, respectively, for the first results. At the time, Twitter said that over 15 million tweets relating to coronavirus were posted within 4 weeks of the post. Even before the coronavirus started making headlines, Twitter stated in May 2019 that they own the responsibility to pass on credible public health information to their users. Twitter still has a long road to ensuring more information is shut down before receiving a large amount of attention, though I feel this is a step in the right direction. Of course, the country most impacted by the coronavirus, China, does not have this functionality as Twitter's banned in the future.
What kind of misinformation about coronavirus is being spread on Twitter?
Fox reports that really anything that can be lied about the virus can be found on the platform. They found posts pertaining to inflated death tolls, how the virus actually started, and dangerous prevention or vaccine remedies for the virus. Of the presumed millions of tweets that have been posted about the virus, only so many have actually reached enough attention to be considered viral. CNET reports that a Harvard doctor specializing in epidemics like coronavirus posted a highly flawed study stating that the virus had similarities to HIV. It was originally posted on BioRxiv, the scientific website that allows users to post their work without the strenuous process of becoming a peer-reviewed journal. The study was debunked within minutes from the site, though it did not stop the study from going viral on Twitter, becoming the most popular study ever to be posted on the site. Bits and pieces of the thread posted by the doctor were removed. Those accounts still active in posting information about the coronavirus constantly.
Have any accounts been removed from Twitter for this reason?
CBS News found at least one group that was barred from the platform for shedding extra malicious content on the platform. A financial website, Zero Hedge, not only accused a researcher for being responsible for the coronavirus, they gave out personal information to find the researcher in person. they were encouraging violence by giving out information like a phone number or email, which is against Twitter's community guidelines, thankfully. Spreading something false is not the final decision to remove the account. Twitter, of course, needs to show restraint when making decisions to remove users, though the urgency to limit disinformation on the platform still stands. For Global Media News, I'm John Greenberg.
Thanks, John. We have heard about Russian influence campaigns to interfere with in American elections, but Russia is not the only nation to wage psychological warfare on social media. Our State Department military and intelligence service also have their own influence campaigns on social media, mostly as a part of the war on terrorism. After Russia, two of the biggest players in the disinformation business are China and Iran. James Griffo is ready to talk about Iran's effort to use the internet to shape public opinion around the world, specifically Iran's use of Facebook for an influence campaign that could affect the 2020 election in the U.S. James, where did you first read a report about Iran's use of social media to influence the U.S.?
I read this in the Verge report that Facebook had shut down several foreign interference campaigns, as well as Washington Post. Russia, Vietnam, and Iran, specifically about Iran.
Is Iran's use of Facebook similar to Russia's use of Facebook in 2016?
It's actually very similar because they're really using the same tactics as Russia did in 2016. I mean, they're almost running the same thing. They're promoting pro-Trump propaganda and anything related to elections now, such as issues that are able to come to 2020 elections.
What kind of ideas were the Iranians pushing and how?
In terms of those hot button issues, there are a lot of posts that were made about immigration, I believe gun control also, but mainly immigration and stuff about Christianity, because there's a lot of the posts were targeted towards evangelical Christians in the South, which was the main borderness of President Trump. And it also had to do with U.S. relations with Iran. As you know, there was the U.S. had killed the top Iranian general, I believe, a month ago. So there was a lot of posts about that, reporting to President Trump killing that general. So he was using that as a voting tool.
Has Facebook started to take notice of the Iranians' disinformation campaign?
Now they have. It might be a little too late for that. There is a top cybersecurity company called FireEye, and they released this report. And in this report, the Iranians didn't draw any direct connections to other foreign actors like themselves. But what the report also stated was that the speed and articulation is what made Facebook so, it's what made the Iranians so invasive, so Facebook couldn't really detect these bots or Iranian troll farms were coming from. So it took them quite a while to realize that these bots were actually coming from Iran. For Global Media News, I'm James Griffith. Back to you.
Thank you, James. Up next, YouTube News. YouTube is preparing for the 2020 elections. What can the platform do to prevent this from the elections?
Social media networks are full of rumors, misinformation, and disinformation. YouTube is no exception here. YouTube is an important source of news. According to the Pew Research Center, a 2019 survey showed that 28% of American adults get their news from YouTube. Only Facebook tops that, with 52% of Americans surveyed saying that Facebook is where they get their news. But not all of the news on YouTube and Facebook is accurate. There are videos that look like news, but are actually disinformation. Oscar, you're here to tell us about how YouTube is changing its content policy to prevent this. Start us off by explaining the problem. Why is YouTube doing this now?
So during the 2016 election, it was found that sites like YouTube were targeted by Russians to spread pro-Trump content. This caused people to call out YouTube and glaring flaw in their system, and YouTube has since rolled out constant updates to their policies, such as one of the first changes they did, they changed their algorithm because they found that people were actually getting recommended extremist type videos and the more they watched it, the more their views changed. And of course, they're extremist views, so they aren't good. So YouTube rolled out a change where they actually changed the algorithm and lowered the amount of extremist views that people saw, and it was successful because they saw a 50% drop in views of those videos. YouTube also changed their policies that currently states that any videos they found manipulated in a way to give false information and channels found doing these types of videos will be terminated, as well as if these channels artificially change their view counts or attempt to impersonate an official and purposely give wrong information like voting dates, they will be terminated.
How do these changes affect the 2020 election?
While there is still false content on the site being shared around, it has been greatly reduced compared to the 2016 election. There was a video circulating. There was two videos circulating about Nancy Pelosi. One of them was created last year during a Democratic debate where she was edited so she was made drunk and she had a slurred speech. And then another one, at the end of Trump's State of the Union address, Nancy was edited so that after each of like Trump's like reveal, Nancy was ripped up with the speech over and over and over again. Both of these videos were removed from the site, but they are still they were shared on Trump's site, so they can still be viewed by everybody.
What does YouTube aim to achieve with these changes?
YouTube hopes to be a more reliable source of content. As mentioned earlier, about 28% of adults actually get their news from the site. And of course, if all the news on the site is misleading, people are going to be given the wrong information, and YouTube doesn't want that. So these changes make sure that people will actually get the right information. This is Oscar Martinez from Global Media News back to you.
Thanks, Oscar. Social media is a great place for political messaging. Politicians have flocked to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, but what has been the effect of all this political messaging on social media? Is it good for democracy? Luca Di Matteo is reporting on the role that social media plays in our political culture today. Luca, why are some critics concerned about the impact of social media on politics? What is the problem and why are the social media responsible?
The impact of media on politics is a lot larger than most people think. Social media platforms, so the actual Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, actually tend to sway either left or right. This is a problem because it can actually lead their users to sharing or reading false information. In regards to whether or not social media is responsible, I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that, because especially after what Oscar just said, a lot of social media platforms are realizing that their users are spreading false information, and now they are taking steps to try and eliminate that spread of false information.
Can you please explain what a partisan divide is and how the social media mogul Facebook aids in furthering dividing the political world? Yeah.
Sure. So a partisan divide is really simply put whether or not you agree with the left more liberal side or the right more conservative side. In regards to Facebook, similarly against what Oscar said before, social media platforms do sway either left or right. So Facebook is one of the more conservative sites. So as he just explained, there was that video of Nancy Pelosi surfacing, and although it was false information, it was shared all over, I'm sorry, it's YouTube, but it was all over Facebook also. And unfortunately, Facebook is flooded with a lot of false information that tends to sway more right. In simpler terms, it's a lot of false info that bashes the left side of politics.
Are there social media platforms that are more partisan than others? And if so, which are they, and is there a reason for their allegiance?
There are definitely platforms that are more liberal and or more conservative. An example, we have Twitter. Twitter is one of the most liberal social media outlets out there. And I would say it's more likely because of their users and because of the people that use Twitter to get their news. There's more than 500 million tweets posted every day. So the amount of information shared there is just overwhelming, and the majority of it is actually more left-side information, although the president does tend to tweet a lot. But there are a lot of different variations in tweets.
It's known that there are millions of fake accounts on all forms of social media. By using these fake accounts or bots, do politicians and local leaders allow information leaning towards their side to be shared even if the information is false.
Absolutely. There's a lot of articles out there explaining that exactly because politicians are aware of the epidemic that that fake accounts and what these bots are, and they simply don't care. And that's because, although they're fake accounts, they're still sharing information that's in their favor. So, really, why would they care? Whether or not it's a it's morally right to do that, I don't know. I'm not going to say that, but they absolutely acknowledge the fact that their information is being spread through fake accounts, and whether they really don't care. Why would they? For Global Media News, I'm Luca Delefeo. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you, Luca. Our phones and apps have location tracking features that make them very useful. But that location tracking data can also be very sensitive. Who should be tracking who and why?
Purchases our information from marketing companies without a court order, and that's very scary because now they have all this information about us. They know where we live, what we do, what we like, and who we know, and this information can be put into wrong hands very easily, and there's nothing protecting us from the government. Even if you're not hiding anything, this could be bad down the line. If someone gets that information, they can use the blackmail, random type of thing.
How does the government get access to the private information?
Well, they purchase the data from marketing companies that marketing companies use through apps and other advertisements, you know, watches, and keeping these apps open on the phone is basically having these companies following us around. And it continues to follow us and watch us, and it collects everything we like on social media, and there's also a privacy policy that these apps and websites, they show us, but it's very small writing, and no one wants to read that entire thing. It tells us exactly what they're getting from us.
Why is it bad if the government has cookie proof?
It's bad because, again, we can know someone, it can get in the wrong hands, and someone can blackmail us and use it to prevent us from getting a job. It can be bad if the government watches us, because now we have nothing left for ourselves. All our privacy is out there.
What can we do to limit how much information is collected?
Some things we can do, but there's not really much to do. You can stay off social media altogether, but that's not really an option for many people. What I do is I turn the apps off so they're not running in the background of my phone, so that way they're not following me. Otherwise, you can look at the privacy policies that these apps and websites offer and see exactly what they're looking at, give you an idea if you want to do that or not. Otherwise, until new regulations come in and the government won't be allowed to purchase all this information and we won't be followed by all these marketing and advertising companies trying to sell us more things, right now we are stuck in this cycle of our information and data being collected and sold. Just a show to the government. For Global Media News, I'm Catherine Finn. Back to you.
Thanks, Catherine. My co-host, Michael Blass, is reporting about an online conflict over a video that showed how to build a PC. Michael, What kind of video was this, and why did the reaction to it become interesting?
Well, Amani, for someone like me, I actually had a friend who taught me how to build a PC, and when I saw this video, it was just done completely wrong. But anyway, the editor who was hosting this video, he just did the stuff completely wrong, and actually some parts were cut out, and he realized, like, we had a way to do this. And for one of the things that goes, he used something that was like a little plastic holder for a main processing unit. And he said, oh, you need to help align this system. And in the next shot, you see it off to the side where he's not even using it.
What is The Verge?
Well, The Verge was actually founded back in 2011 by its partner company, Vox Media. And Vox Media need to create The Verge because they need some more help with the online industry of media. So The Verge was born, and they hired 13 editors to take control of it. So they post all their stuff online, and they also do make the YouTube videos. And as well as the video that was mentioned about building the PC, that was actually recently taken down and comments were blocked by it because of how bad this video was. And the main editor for that video, his name was Steven, and he did that video was posted, and he was at the face of it. He was capable and actually sponsored that video. Everyone who there was actually reaction from major YouTube videos who I watched, some of them, like Paul's Hard Work, Bitway, and Tekken City, they all kind of thrashed out the video and said, this guy should just be fired, just not even part of it. And when it's on Tekken, one thing, they're like, yeah, but I wonder, buddy, are you guys doing to take your name off of this completely?
Why was there such an uproar against this video?
Well, there was a major uproar because you have 13 editors at The Verge, and not a single person besides the main editors saw the video and was like, this doesn't seem right. We shouldn't post this. They all just were like, okay, I guess so. And they all just keep going with it. And when once the video was posted, there were people to the Twitter and were thrashing the guy and kind of joking around saying, hey, he's just asking for a light bulb into the ceiling. And some this guy Thomas attacking him like that. So Vox Media actually caught wind of what was happening and went to YouTube with their lawyers and said, we need to copy strike these two videos. And one of the videos was actually posted by Bitway, and who his name is Kyle, who runs that channel, actually received the strike. But shortly after this happened, The Verge found out, Vox Media told him after the fact, and The Verge was like, no, you guys can't do that. It's our fault. We didn't check it over. So what The Verge did was actually counterclaim to you and say, can you take those strikes back? And that can get clear though.
What was the end result of this controversy?
The end result was Steven's job, he lost it, and because Vox Media had nothing to do with it, he was like, yeah, we don't know you, I'll see you later. And after that, the video was taken down, but the article that they posted on The Verge's website is still out there today. You can actually still go ahead and view it. And the company kind of did what's called a Streisand effect. They wanted to hide everything. But unfortunately, that didn't work out because all YouTubers caught wind of it. Still was still on top of this article because of how big it was at the time. And they saw it kind of blasted the Vox Media for it as well. So at the end of the day, Steven lost his job, and that video will forever be something that you can always remember, and you can still see the article on the first day. I'm Michael Blass for Global Media News. Back to you, Emily.
Thanks, Michael. Spotify is always coming up with new ways to engage listeners and keep us listening to music on their streaming platform. What is the latest feature that they are rolling out now?
Let's talk about the digital music giant Spotify. Spotify is dominating the streaming music market. One of the reasons that Spotify is so popular is that they are always trying to find ways to improve the user experience by testing out new features to attract and engage listeners. My co-host, Amani Inns, is on the Spotify beat for Global Media News this week. Amani, tell us about Spotify's latest innovation. What did it for Spotify? What did it for fans? And how could it benefit the artists who distribute their music on the platform?
Thanks, Michael. Well, Spotify is a Sweden-based company founded in 2006, which is honestly something that I just found out. I didn't know that they were Sweden-based. That's something that what Spotify is mostly known for is music, podcasts, and video streaming services, which allows people all over the world to listen to different types of like genres for a pretty good price. As of recently, they have started like launched a new songwriting page, which allows songwriters to get knowledge and to, but it also helps them to gain credit and attention for songs that we know for possibly years. And it also helps as a platform for upcoming songwriters to get their foot in the door, to get experience, and also to get discovered. You can also find users are able to find these songwriters by exploring their favorite artist page. So they're able to discover more songwriters and kind of figure out new songwriters to
What could Spotify possibly gain from your new songwriting page?
With the new page, you can attract more users, which leads to increasing sales. It seems like their goal is to get former as well as upcoming artists / songwriters to use their platform to gain more attention for a bigger audience. And with Spotify gains profit all while songwriters have a new platform to broadcast to music.
How does this benefit Spotify's users?
Along with fans listening to their favorite artists' music, they now have the opportunity to discover who's behind the song that they love so much. It's just to add on to what I said earlier. This page is not just for songwriters that have been in the game for quite some time. It's also for new songwriters, which can also be that can also just be a Spotify user who's been writing songs in their books or whatever. Now they can now broadcast it onto this platform. It just makes it easier for people to get more experience, and it also makes it easier for people to get discovered by possible labels.
Do you think Spotify's new launch makes their streaming service better than Apple Music?
That's honestly a trick question, but I do think Spotify will come close to being a better streaming service than Apple because they're becoming more open with the public in the sense that the songwriters do not have to be under a label to have a contract or partnership with Spotify. It's supposed to work, and it's great that Spotify is giving credit to those who put some of that magic song, that flavor into some of the songs that a lot of these different genres. That's something that we haven't really seen that before, especially when it comes to giving credit to people who will be writing songs to all these different artists. But what will be able to provide an aspect to
it? Thanks, Imani. TikTok is very popular, especially with the young. According to the Wall Street Journal, 70% of 10-year-old girls with smartphones use TikTok. Ozzy Asif has been looking into the recent news about TikTok's growing influence. Ozzy, why do you think TikTok has become so popular, and do you think it will keep growing?
Michael, it will continue to grow because it's in high demand. So many social media influencers have jumped on the TikTok bandwagon, and everyone wants to be popular on the platform. Kids are recreating viral videos and dances, which makes it even more popular, because nowadays everyone uses TikTok, from promoting themselves or like sharing their music,
will TikTok eliminate all competition like Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube?
Everyone is doing like short videos because they're interesting and easy to scroll through. So this platform, TikTok, it made it more convenient for the user because they can watch multiple TikToks at a time quickly and send it to their friends or family. So I think that makes it very convenient.
Why is TikTok such a popular app compared to its predecessors?
Because the platform is very easy to use and it provides everyone in-house tools in the application. This has changed a lot and improved from the old ones, like Vine or the other apps. TikTok has made a huge impact to fix all bugs and lags in prior applications. Also implementing a recording time, which can be recorded hands-free, so the user usually puts the phone down, puts the timer on, and records the video, whether it's a viral video
why is TikTok banned?
Well, TikTok was banned in Indonesia and India, and which also surprised me, it was banned by the U.S. Navy and the military, and that's very shocking to me, because I couldn't believe that. Like, why would they ban TikTok? Maybe because it's so addictive, because a lot of people I know are addicted to TikTok, watching videos all day. I'm not a victim, but I'm surprised to see it. And also, there's like disturbing content, which is unsuitable for children on TikTok, and TikTok spending billions of dollars to fix that issue, and they apologize for the inconvenience.
Why does TikTok appeal to everyone of all ages?
Well, there's a variety of reasons, but I believe the main reason is because there's endless content on the platform. You can basically find anything from entertainment, or a famous celebrity doing a video for a movie, or musical artists, rappers, singer, anything. Like, they're just on the application, like, promoting their stuff. And I believe that it's also very informative, because doctors and lawyers also spread content daily. The comedians also have a huge role, because kids are recreating or doing viral dances or stunts, which is why everyone finds this app so popular. So, Global Media News, I'm Ozzy Seed. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you, Ozzy. That's it for this week. Thanks to my co-host, Amani Inks. Thanks to our wonderful producer and engineer, Daniel Wawala.
Thanks, Michael. Today, we heard from Voice of Prophecy, Michael Glass, Luca Pimateo, Catherine Frank, John Griefer, James Whipple, Amani Inks, and Oscar Martin.